Perfect. Hi, hello everybody, and welcome into yet another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, Season 2, Episode 18, Episode 52 overall, this one entitled Nashville Skyline. I'm Loganity Moore, so whatever's left of him, high atop the Loganity Lounge, and a hearty Omaha to each and every one of you, wherever you may be. This week, we got a lot to talk about. Peter and I were in beautiful Norwalk, Ohio, and all those things, and we really gained a new appreciation for the NHRA and all they do. So we're going to talk about that. We, of course, are going to talk about Joey Logano getting back in victory lane in the wildest overtime finish ever. Maybe. So, and we're going to touch on a lot of news and notes. So without further ado, let's start getting into it. But before we do, let's bring in the cast of characters to do it with me this week. Our featured guest for the evening, a man that, look, he gets it done at Talladega each and every time. Sweet Home Alabama means quite a bit to him, but he doesn't roll with the tide. He's War Damn Eagle all day long. Let's bring him in. Matt Nicholson, come on in here, Matt.
Hey, you got it right. War Eagle all day, buddy.
Yes, sir. How are you? How you doing, brother?
Doing well.
All right. Let's see if we can raise a little cane, raise a little hell. I know that you were a much bigger Bo Nix fan back when he went to a proper college. Anywho, let's bring in the lady that keeps me straight and keeps all of this straight. She's the most beautiful woman on this day. If no offense, Matt, you're handsome, but you're not quite as pretty as her. Those big blue eyes could get lost. She is absolutely in love with Ryan Blaney, and someday she's going to live to tell him about it. Let's bring her on in here. Producer Peggy, how are you?
I can't tell you a thing about what happened at Nashville, but I can tell you all about what happened at Norwalk.
Yeah, well, it did happen.
Frankly, I'm shook, and not just because I stood 20 feet from a car going 330 miles an hour, but I never knew cars going in a straight line could be so fun.
Fun, exciting, exhilarating, a real assault on the senses in the best of ways.
I felt like SpongeBob. My eyes were on fire. They burned so bad. Every time I came back to the media center, Logan had to be like, bro, like, your makeup's a wreck. Like, go fix yourself.
Well, I believe they call that, Matt, I believe they call that baptized by nitro.
That is exactly called a nitro baptism. And the first thing I told a personal friend of mine when I left my first NHRA race is the nitro fumes will let you know very fast how well your lungs are working.
I was all up in it. It assaults all of your senses at once.
Ryan Hill says, what a glorious Monday it is. Well, Ryan is a Joey Logano fan, as you probably know, Matt. And boy, he's all over it. He's got a much less stressful summer stretch coming. He was He was nervous. He was like a brand new cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Mm-hmm. He was a nervous, nervous individual. So yes, we have been baptized by the Nitro. We have felt the power of 337 miles per hour. I mean, goodness. But we got to talk some NASCAR. We will talk NHRA. We absolutely will. But first, let's get into our weekend review.
If I can find it.
That's all right. Take your time.
I wasn't ready.
That's all right. Okie dokie. All righty, Matt. Let's do it. All right, Ryan. Here you go, brother. Here you go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? That's right. Joey Logano got it done. Somehow, some way, in one of the wildest, wacky, it was like an inflatable tube man finishes yeah. you ever saw in your life. Five overtimes. I believe that's a record. I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure it's a record.
It is.
This was Christopher Bell's race to lose. There was a moment where it might have been a Denny Hamlin dub, but it turns into a Joey Logano dub on the greatest fuel run I think I've ever seen. He went like 110 laps on a 70 to 80 mile tank or lap tank. Pardon me. He was benefited by the 41 laps of caution. Matt, break it down for us. What were your thoughts on the wildest overtime finish potentially ever?
I think it probably at 10:30 p.m. last night, I was still scratching my head trying to figure out how he stretched and got 110 laps out of one tank when you saw on average everyone going, like you said, anywhere between 70 on the low end, 85 to 90 on the high end, but he stretched it to 110. What had me baffled the most is Chase Briscoe pits three laps after he does. Chase Briscoe runs out two laps before he does. And I'm still going, how do you do that? How do you figure that out? And what had me puzzled the most is that Ford Performance tuned and Roush Yates tunes all of the Ford engines identical. So that's where I was going, huh? But that was baffling. I've seen four overtimes at Talladega, and that was in 2018. I saw four. I never thought I would see five. But here we are.
Here we are indeed. And of course, the five overtime has created some controversy, some debate, some water cooler talk, some scuttlebutt, whatever it may be, about should we talk about an overtime limit. I know you got thoughts. I got thoughts. First, let's get to Ryan's latest comment. He says, I have new life, and it is glorious for sure. The even year streak can continue. The even and odd thing, I think this year, all kidding aside, proved there's nothing to that. Let's be quite frank about it. He's got one win on the points paying race, and that's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Win's a win. That hook or crook, baby. However you get it done, you get it done. And he did win the All-Star race, so he's $1 million richer. But I think we can officially put that baby to bed on the even odd year thing. Sure. So in my estimation, all right. So there's been great debate. We'll break down the race more. We got to talk Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, and all that. But there's been great debate on what should happen to the overtime rule. Is five too many? Is it time to start setting a limit? Matt, I want your thoughts. Is it time to start setting a limit on overtimes?
I'm going to say no, because I'm going to say that last night was an anomaly, something that doesn't happen often. On average, the most you may see is three at the most. But last night, you know, with everyone being low on fuel, everybody trying to gamble, everybody going like, you know, you're, as the old saying goes, if you're getting ready to look at the rag fly, you do what you got to do to take it. Everybody was going to do what they had to do to take it. And that was just pure aggression and greed, which therefore I say it falls into an anomaly. Because I don't think you're going to see that happen again too much, if ever. So I'm going to say no, let it ride like it is.
I got to agree with you, Matt. I think this is much ado about nothing, in the words of old Bill Shakespeare. Yep. Look, it to me is just look, we got to find a way to get the cleanest finish we can. No one wants to see a race end under caution. And the idea that we can't try it six times or ten times, why? It, you know, baseball can go 27 innings if that's what it requires. Now, that doesn't happen anymore due to the ghost runner these days.
No one,
you know, there is not a limit on overtimes for college football. We all have said there should stop being sudden death. Well, not we all, but the grand majority has said there should stop being sudden death in pro football. College basketball, the greatest games we've seen have gone five and six overtimes. Why should there be a limit? Whatever it takes to declare a fair and concise winner. And I know in the old days that's not the way it was, and I respect that, but it's a different time. In 2024, people want to see, and it's not to say that they're not all fair winners, people don't want to see a race end under caution. That is just, that's an anti-climax in my estimation, especially in 2024. Our attention span and what our expectations are as a society is far different than what it was in 1998 after 20 years of trying.
Sure.
I mean, it just is. And so I don't want to see them ever put a limit. I don't care if it takes 15 times. Would that be ridiculous? Yeah. Would that be crazy? Sure. Will it ever happen? Probably not. But if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes.
Finish with a checkered flag in the air, not the caution and the checker.
Amen to that. So I do. I think it's just much ado about nothing. I think people that are in favor of a limit of overtime, I don't know. I think we're in a different time. I don't think that works, and I think that makes our sport look, I don't want to say amateurish, because it doesn't, because again, the history's there, but in 2024, a little out of touch. Ryan says Team Penske's getting hot. They are getting hot. Cindric's locked in. Blaney's locked in. And now Joey Logano somehow, someway, is locked in his Pennzoil Ford. So, yeah, they are getting hot. And Team Penske has won the last two championships, believe it or not. So maybe this is going to be the summer stretch where they get it going. All right, let's talk more about Nashville and break it down. Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, look, it's a rivalry. That's what we've heard. What's your take, Matt? Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin. I think, and I say this with all due respect, try to be as fair to Denny Hamlin as I can. I think it's some hypocrisy on Denny Hamlin's part. Kyle Larson made a move that, frankly, Denny Hamlin would do, in my opinion. What's yours?
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, anybody would make that same move. I mean, I would make that same move if I was in a car going, if I had a chance to make a move on somebody to take the lead or gain a position to put me closer to the lead, I would do the exact same thing. And there's not any one of those 40 competitors on a given week that would tell me they would not do the same thing.
Completely agree with you, Matt. Look, you got to go for it. When the pay window is open, as Clint Boyer likes to say, that you do, you are there to win races. We're not there to be friends. We're not there to be tight. We can be tight. We can be tighter than a skater's pants from right up until the drop of the green flag. But I got a job to do. You got a job to do. Let's go get it. Our teams work too hard. We work too hard. We risk too much to not do it. Wally Lukaczynski, my boy, tuning in. Great to see you, Wally. Hope you're doing well. Baseball and the Ghost Runner is bad for the sport. Yes, it is. But NASCAR choosing to do continuous overtime is awesome. He's the biggest 11 fan you'll find in the sport, and they all know the rules. Absolutely. They know what can happen. As long as we don't see deliberate actions to alter finishes, I don't give up. If there's 30 OT restarts, absolutely, completely agree. As long as it's done on the up and up, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. There is no time limit in baseball. There's been 27 inning games. Again, those things are probably a beacon of the past at this point, but it is theoretically possible.
Right.
Completely agree with you, Wally. Hope you're doing well. Sorry about your boy. He's one of the few and proud Denny Hamlin fans out there. You know, they're kind of like the Marines. They're the few and the proud, Matt. We know a couple of them, but there's not many these days because he's busy, well, their favorite driver, as he likes to say.
Yep.
So, all right. I got to tell you, I thought Denny Hamlin, and I'm not trying to put down Denny. There's plenty of people that do that. Denny Hamlin is a controversial name, but I just thought bumping Kyle Larson under caution is was a little, I mean, come on, for the sake of safety and just, I get you're upset and you want to show your displeasure, but if someone did that to you, you're going on Actions Detrimental and Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and you're running them down like a dog. That's just my take.
I mean, look at what Carson Hocevar did to Harrison Burton under caution, turned him on the backstretch in a straight line. I mean,
that leads me to my next topic. Let's talk about Carson Hocevar and Harrison Burton. Harrison Burton has struggled mightily this season. Carson Hocevar has been sneakily good for Spire Motorsports. Frankly, he's been the standout of that team. No disrespect to Corey LaJoie or Zane Smith, who's technically a product there. What's your take on that? That kerfluffle. I just don't think there's any place for that, obviously. Harrison Burton's going to be a little lighter in the loafers, a little lighter in the pockets, I think, come a little bit later on this week.
I don't know, because that's one of them where very few times where I say I don't know, because I didn't see what happened beforehand on the track or seen what led up to that. Now, if I could have seen what led up to that, then I could make a clear determination. But I didn't see it. You only just seen what NBC showed on the television broadcast of him turning him on the backstretch. So, I mean, who's to say that Harrison didn't just go into turn one or turn three and just hit him hard enough to – I'll say it this way. My mentor in dirt racing when I was coming up always told me, when somebody else hits you in a car, makes contact with you, your rear end will tell you if it's a deliberate hit or an inadvertent hit. Your rear end will tell you that automatically, because you're going to know when the difference between hard racing and one of those to heck with you hits, I'm going to tear your car up kind of deal. So really the only people that can answer that question is going to be Carson Hocevar and Harrison Burton. I don't know what to make of it, honestly.
Yeah, you know what you do. You bring a solid perspective on that. Maybe there's always a possibility of more being to the story than meets the eye. And when I say the eye, I mean the camera in this case.
Sure.
So we'll see what comes of it. Any final thoughts on the Nashville Cup race before we move it along? What else you want to touch on, if anything?
I was honestly a little underwhelmed by this one. I've been to two Cup races up there and three truck races, and I'm going to say the second Cup race that I went to in 22 when Chase Elliott won, that one was probably the better one. But with the heat and running into the time of the day they do it on the concrete track, it just doesn't mix well to me. And the racing wasn't overly spectacular. It was fair. It wasn't overly spectacular to me.
Pardon me if you can hear the fireworks show out going outside my house for some reason. I don't know. It's that time of year. Happy July, everybody.
Yep.
So, Matt, I want your thoughts on before we move on to the Xfinity and truck race. What should – because you're right, the heat is too intense to, in my estimation, ask fans to sit in the grandstands, and especially because you can't even bring in a bottle of unopened water – and coolers, and I don't know, Nashville Super Speedway, with all due respect, have got some odd rules for this day and age, and given their spot on the schedule. What would you do in Nashville Super Speedway next year? Maybe slip them into the playoffs? I guess the spring is a possibility, but the weather's weird and all that sort of thing. Because I think it's unfair to ask our fans to sit in this 100 degree weather, let alone the heat index and all those things. Do they stay on in the summer?
It's the very exact reason back in 1998 Talladega Super Speedway was moved from July to October, because Talladega used to be in the dead middle of July, and several times you would feel like you were in the pits of hell because it was so brutally hot. My first time on pit road at Talladega in 1996, I can remember we were standing in a pit box, and one of the crew guys shot the temperature on the asphalt, and the asphalt temperature was 147 on pit road. Running daytime races in the southeastern U.S. is not very smart. So if it was me and I was SMI coordinating with NASCAR to get a schedule date set, I'm squarely looking at a Saturday night, 6:30 start. Because that track, now I say this very loosely because the truck race was an absolute snooze fest. And it was all at night. But it seems that the cup cars put on a better show at a night race at Concrete than they do in the daytime. Look at Bristol. Look at Dover. Dover's day, Bristol's night. Put Nashville at night. Make it to where it's tolerable for your fans that are in the stands and go at it.
I like that idea. Sean, my stepfather tuning in, thanks, Sean. He said, move the race to a spring race. I think you got to do something. You got to adjust the start time, maybe move it in the fall, move it in the spring. It's just too hot to ask the fans to sit in the grandstands all day long and bake in that heat, because it's not like it's just watch the race and then leave. You get there early, you buy your food. It's an all-day extravaganza, as it should be, given what you pay.
And Nashville is all the aluminum old school stands, and you got that heat reflecting off of the stands. That makes it 10 times worse.
Brutal. Brutal. All right. John Hunter got it done in the Xfinity Series. Of course, he pops in for Coach Gibbs from time to time down there. John Hunter Nemechek's in a weird spot, Matt. He's struggling at Legacy Motor Club, but Legacy Motor Club is struggling as a whole. And I say that as somebody who loves the club. They're struggling as a whole. Is John Hunter, when he goes down and does well in these Xfinity races, does that, in your view, prove that he's still the blue chip prospect that coming into this season everybody seemed to think he was?
I'm going to say yes. Because when it's not just him, it's other Toyota drivers too. They can step down the Xfinity Series and they can be well up front, but they go back to their main program and Cup, and you're like, where are they at? What are they doing? Are they going to show up? Those kind of scenarios. But like you said, Legacy is down overall. And it, you know, with them saying that they were, with the start of the year, it being said that they were going to be what you would say a tier A Toyota team. The way they've done, I don't even think they may be considered tier C. It's a head scratcher because 2311 and Joe Gibbs, they're consistent. I was pleasantly surprised with how Corey Heim run yesterday until he got in that late race accident. He managed really well. But it's kind of puzzling to me, because you would expect, with that few of Toyota cars on a weekly basis, you would expect to see all of them running in the same zip code. Let's say that Legacy Motor Club is not even in the same zip code as 2311 and Joe Gibbs. So it's kind of a head scratcher to me.
It's very perplexing. All the hype that was around moving to Toyota and all those things. And right now, it just has not lived up and has not panned out. Long way to go in the year still. And, of course, it's a year of adjustments for Legacy Motor Club. So it's not, you know, people that go, well, Toyota's a bust, way too soon to tell. But you would have certainly thought that they would have been a little better so far this season. We'll see what happens as they start going back to tracks for the second time. And hey, as a Legacy guy, a little rain at the right time is all you need. I'm just saying. But we'll see what happens. Christian X won every lap, or won the race and led every lap, pardon me. Boy, I speak English really well. and so, you know, silly season is on the, you know, on the rise. And we're going to talk a lot about that here in the second half of the show, Matt. Does Christian X start getting any calls? I mean, leading every lap? There's plenty of options available. Could Christian Atkins maybe get a call? And I know that, you know, him leading every lap, not ideal for people who want to watch the race. It did have some reminiscing thoughts of Martin Truex at the Coke 600, watching Christian Atkins absolutely own, own the truck race. It was Kyle Busch-esque, frankly. And
yeah.
So Matt, but do you think that, that Christian Eckes is on people's radar?
I think he's going to. It's just a matter of where. I mean, I think he's going to be contacted maybe by Front Row. I mean, they got two open seats.
Mm-hmm.
And a little chatter here and there, you know, you hear he's being looked at. So time will tell.
Time will indeed tell. Absolutely. We have a lot to, a lot of silly season to talk about and a lot of Norwalk. So we're going to move right on along. We're going to talk some truck news as well in Happy Hour Headlines. Give us a little bit on that. In F1, George Russell won in Austria. I know, Matt, you're an F1 guy. You pay attention. You're with it. Anytime it's not Max Verstappen, it's a bit of a surprise, yeah? I mean, you think so?
Well, the thing with that one was is Lando Norris made a boneheaded move.
Mm-hmm.
He had that. He could have won that race straight up if he had just used his head and stayed calm, but he didn't, and he cost himself and Max the race. No fault of George Russell.
Right place, right time. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. And that's frankly, right. It's probably. And look, I know that hypocrisy. Thy name is old O'Ganity here, as the biggest Richard Petty stan walking on God's earth. But frankly, anytime George Verstappen doesn't win, it's probably better for F1 as a sport in terms of coverage, because it gets a little fatigued for some of us to see Max Verstappen absolutely own. And hey, he's got a job to do, and his job is to go out and win, not to play entertainer. But anytime that they do have an issue and Lando, you know, made a mistake and George Russell takes advantage, right place, right time. So that's not what Dr. John was talking about, but I really think that anytime he doesn't win, it's kind of better for the sport, as unfair as that may sound.
Yeah. I mean, because it doesn't make F1 seem like a snooze fest, as you say, because not only just Max, it's just Red Bull overall that has a dominating presence right now, but it seems to me that McLaren and Ferrari, they're right there, but you've got Mercedes, you know, slowly creeping back in. But it's, you know, right now, currently, McLaren is Red Bull's biggest threat on a weekly basis, because I was pleasantly surprised and pleased to see Oscar Piastri get P2, his best career finish.
Absolutely. It was a good run for some people in F1. And speaking of good runs and different types of racing, let's talk a little NHRA. Let's bring in producer Peggy. We covered this thing all weekend long. And so let's bring her in. Let's talk about it. We were at the in Norwalk at the Summit Equipment Racing NRJ Nationals, well, the 18th annual, I might add. All right, let's chat about it. Gage Herrera won his 11th straight. Just incredible the run he's on. He seemed unstoppable throughout this whole stretch. And so, Matt, I know you're not the biggest NHRA guy. But anytime you're winning 11 in a row, Gage Herrera, 11 in a row on the Pro Stock motorcycles, what's your take?
Anytime you win 11 in a row on anything, you've got your ducks in a row and everybody on your team is clicking on all cylinders. And, you know, good for him. I mean, that's more of a Max Verstappen-esque kind of run that he's on right now. And the question is going to be is who's going to knock him off?
Yeah, but he admitted, and producer Peggy, he admitted yesterday that he knows the streak's going to end. His grandfather told him that, look, when you get to the top of a mountain, the only way is down. You know, you watched Pro Stock Motorcycle for the first time. Gage Herrera lives up to the hype. What'd you think of it?
It was looking like for a while. You know, throughout the weekend that Matt Smith was gonna take the Wally. And then Richard Gadsden won the Too Fast, Too Tasty challenge. So, like, Gage Ferrer wasn't number one qualifier. He didn't win the mission challenge. Like, he just kind of snuck up at the end there and stole the win. So it was looking like for a while that he wasn't going to win, and then he pulled it off.
Yeah, he said that he told me in the media center, because I brought that up to him. He said the only thing that counts here is what you do on Sunday. So he wasn't worried, and he said that he knew when he saw the weather change, what it was going to be, he was completely confident. And I can't hardly blame him. Why wouldn't you be? Pro Stock Aaron Stanfield went back to back, winning his second consecutive Wally. So that was interesting. He, you know, Pro Stock, kind of a major upset in round one. Greg Anderson, arguably the greatest Pro Stock driver ever, 105 Wallys to his credit. He squared the tires in round one on Sunday, Matt, and Larry
Morgan. And he was number one qualifier, too.
Yeah, and he squared those tires on the round one on Sunday, and he looked like he was the car to beat, and he was feeling good. We talked to him in the media center Friday and Saturday. He had a pint of ice cream with us, even. That's how good he was feeling, literally. And he talked about how he loves the pressure. He loves the pressure of being aligned with Mr. H, because HendrickCars.com is an associate sponsor. He loves the pressure, and he said Mr. H expects to win. He's told him that. And then he squares those tires on round one on Sunday when he was easily the car to beat. You know, Matt, I want to come to you first.
Yeah.
The thing I learned about drag racing most this weekend is just how easily it can go wrong.
That and then some. Because my first time at an NHRA event in 2022 at the U.S. Nationals in Indy, I'm like you guys, it brought a whole new respect to me and opened my eyes up to a lot more of the sport that I'd never seen nor experienced. And I'm going, holy cow, this is wild. This is nuts. But as you just said, one thing can go wrong in that fraction of a second and your weekend's done. And with that weather changing, if you don't keep up with that weather change just enough and make the correct engine adjustments and tune your engine, you're dead in the water. You are completely dead in the water.
Absolutely. And Pro Stock, the way those engines are, they are affected horsepower-wise by the weather, especially the moist air, more than certainly Funny Car and Top Fuel. So Aaron Stanfield gets it done, his second consecutive Wally. And then in Funny Car, Bob Tasca III won in Funny Car. He beat three-time world champion Ron Capps. Ron Capps had arguably his strongest runs of the season. It was an emotional win for Tasca. He dedicated the win to John Force. He talked about how John Force taught him how to race Funny Car. Of course, they have a long association with each other. There's some politics there, and they left on weird terms. But he dedicated the win to John Force. And Peggy, you were there. Tasca was emotional, and he dedicated the win to Force and said even he didn't want to be – he didn't know if he wanted to be out there without John Force at the track, whether that's in the car or just as an owner. What was your take on his very emotional – media availability session?
It was sad to see, and it was also at the same time it was sad because he beat Austin Proc, which was John Force Racing only entry this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he necessarily felt bad about that, because you're there to win.
Or should he, yeah.
But in the media center, he was very emotional. He was borderline crying. And you could just feel his his emotion in his words. And that's like kind of all he wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Again, he said, I don't know if I want to be out here without John Force at the track. And he did clarify John doesn't necessarily need to drive, but he doesn't really want to be in a world where John is not at the track and a part of the sport as an owner. So it just very interesting. Sean says Caps is not an easy driver to beat. No, he's not. 3-time funny car champion. And, you know, and so, but he's had a down year thus far and looked poised to maybe, because he was surprising people on Sunday, to maybe pull it off and get the Wally. But it wasn't to be. Bob Tasca the third gets it done. Of course, the great kind of Tasca racing dynasty continues. It was also Bob's son turned 18 yesterday. So it was an even more emotional day for Bob, who said his kid wanted a Wally for his birthday. And so on top of everything going on with John, yes, the politics between the Tasca team and John Force is weird, but all can decide there's a long history there, so it's tough. And they're a fraternity. So, yeah, that was pretty special to see. And then finally, in Top Fuel, Antron Brown got it done after Doug Coletta looked poised. I mean, Doug Coletta looked like he was going to continue this incredible run. Doug Coletta is the reigning world champ in Top Fuel. But Antron Brown got it done and took home his 60th Wally in Top Fuel. And I'll tell you what, Antron Brown has got personality out the wazoo. His media session was as fun a media session as I've ever covered. He was just so fun to talk to. Matt, what are your thoughts on Antron Brown? Top Fuel, you get his 60th Wally in the Top Fuel category. He's got a few in other categories, but 60, and he said this one means a little more because a lot of his team is even from Ohio. So, what are your thoughts on Antron getting the dub?
I agree with you what you said. He's one of the best personalities, I would say, one of, because I've had the opportunity to meet several. He's one of the hands down the best personalities, best person to talk to. And his post-race interview, when you've seen it on the television broadcast, you can immediately tell he was energized, he was pumped up, to which led to that lively media center interview. So good for him. I mean, he's one of the guys that I like, and I've got a lot of respect for all of them, but he's one of the ones that I like, but just because of how he carries himself and how he talks to and treats people.
He is absolutely, absolutely. He is a likable man. He was nothing but kind and courteous and fun to everybody. It felt less like a press conference after a while and more like he was just coming up to hang out with the friends as a firework goes off in my background. I don't know if that got picked up, did it? But It was a lot of fun. Before we move on, Producer Peggy, I want to come to you. Give me your overarching thoughts on the weekend. Did you like it? Did you love it? Did you enjoy it? Did you hate it? Were we ever doing it again? What was your take? We covered NHRA this weekend for the first time professionally. Give me your thoughts.
I loved it. I liked it more than I thought I would. Similar to how I thought about NASCAR before I was a NASCAR fan, I thought NASCAR was stupid. I was like, they just drive in circles. Like, what's the point? And drag racing, I was like, they just drive in a straight line. What's exciting about that? But like, now, like, I see what's exciting about that, and I think it helps that I was there in person to witness that, to feel the cars going by, and to feel my eyes burning, and to smell the fumes and the tires and hear everything and all of that, and because I've tried to watch it on TV before, and the coverage can be a little confusing, but it never really caught my interest. And so I think being there really helped me learn the sport Not that I'm an expert now, but it helped me learn the drivers, and I would love to go back.
No, I think.
Where do you see that many at one time?
Yeah.
Go to a four wide, and you will, if you don't leave the track saying, holy crap, something's wrong. Because that's the second one that I ever attended was a four wide nationals at Z-Max in Charlotte. Whew. That's all you can say.
No, we got it. We got to go check it out. You don't realize, because again, and I say this with all due respect, the NHRA needs a better TV deal. They need a better TV deal. Most of the time it's taped, and it's a very kind of rushed together, crammed in coverage. It feels like as a big wrestling fan, it feels like kind of a syndicated TV show. Syndicated wrestling, which used to be a big deal back in the 80s and 90s. And that's kind of how NHRA TV on Fox feels, with all due respect. You take what you can get. I get it. But they need a better TV deal where it's live and you can really feel the pomp and circumstance of the event, especially on Sunday, because the intensity that is palpable throughout the grandstands and the media center and certainly the pits is something that I don't know that TV currently does justice. And I know it's possible because we certainly do it with NASCAR. We certainly do it in F1. We certainly do it in IndyCar. It's very possible. And so for this sport to kind of keep moving along, not that they're doing poorly, but to kind of, and they are the big boys of what they do, and they're just as legit as NASCAR, but to kind of come up in that same breath, it's going to take a little better media rights deal, I do believe, and I hope that's coming soon for them. A lot of fun this weekend. I gained a whole new appreciation. I think I'm going to pay more attention to it and try to get invested and really understand the sport, because what they do is just as legit and, frankly, just as fun as NASCAR in a different way. Lots of fun.
I do agree.
All right. So with that, we got to keep moving along. So producer Peggy, hit that button for one time. Matt, we're going to talk some silly season. It's time for Happy Hour Headlines. All righty. So before we do talk silly season, we do want to touch on the John Force update that came early Sunday morning. Peggy, if you want to read a little bit of that statement, you can.
Let me get close to my screen here.
Yeah.
Yes, I will read. So, this was June 30th. After 5 tense days during which he was heavily sedated while battling the effects of injuries suffered in the 300-mile-per-hour crash of his drag racing funny car, John Force has begun to show daily signs of improvement, according to family members who have maintained presence at the trauma hospital to which he was transported by air ambulance on Sunday. Early in the treatment process of his traumatic brain injury, he failed to follow the series of commands to open his eyes, squeeze the hands of the care providers, and move his extremities. Occasionally, he was able to respond with slight movements, but it wasn't until he moved from trauma intensive care unit to neuro intensive care unit on Wednesday that he began to gain some momentum. Later, he became more consistent, responding to commands, and finally opened his eyes on day 5. Following days of failed attempts, his wife and daughters were overcome with emotion when he murmured his name, John Force, and later, when prompted, gave a thumbs up. The biggest challenge is managing his extreme agitation and confusion, which causes him significant distress. He's repeatedly tried to get out of bed and has been restrained. He recognized his daughter's wife, Lori, and called them each by name and spoke the words, "I love you," along with continued daily progress. This, along with continued daily progress, has uplifted their spirits.
All right, so Matt, let's talk about that update. Finally, some truly positive good news after some frankly vague updates. Let's talk about it. John Force making progress and looking like he might kind of kick out of another one. He's a tough, tough individual. We all remember the Texas crash several years ago now.
Right.
So give me your thoughts on that update. He's finally making some real progress, and the fact that he's agitated and wants out of bed might be a good sign.
That to me is a great sign that he's coming around and there is progress happening. But, you know, my initial thoughts when the accident happened and he was transported, you know, I saw the video footage. He was able to get, he got out of the car under his own power. But my fear instantly became, and when they said he transported him and he went into the ICU, and then he was moved subsequently out to the NICU unit at that trauma hospital in Virginia, my instant fear became he's got some form of a severe head injury, whether it be a really severe concussion or even further. After seeing that update and seeing, you know, how things were and how he was for 5 days, I hope it's not the case, but I'm honestly beginning to wonder if there may have been some form of an equipment failure that may have happened. Whether obviously it was a minor one because he's still here with us. But I hope an equipment failure didn't happen to cause the traumatic injury that he had to his head injury that he had, because we saw the impact. He hit the walls flush, basically, the first hit. Then he come across and then went back across again, and which, you know, anybody that hits a wall at 300 miles an hour, it's going to ring your bell. But the way those funny cars are structured and built on the inside of it, I hope it's not the case, but I fear there may have been some type of an equipment malfunction and failure, because when you see a legend like Shirley Muldowney say on her social media over the weekend, something about if he would have had on a Bell helmet, he might not have sustained a severe injury. Okay, you're wondering, why would she even say something like that? And then you see the update that comes out from the team and from the doctors that are detailing some things out. It makes you go, wait a minute, what does she know? It's a legitimate question to ask, what does she know that everybody else doesn't know? But, you know, I'm like you, he doesn't deserve to end his career this way. You know, even though he was talking about retirement a few weeks ago, getting that ready, he deserves to go out on top and to go out on his own terms. And I really hope he makes one more run.
If anybody can do it, it's John Force. He's tougher than a $2 steak. When it came to her comments, I got to tell you, I thought, and I say this with all due respect, I know I'm a baby when it comes to drag racing. I'm a babe in the woods. But I do understand something about a little decency, and I thought that wasn't the time for a sponsor plug. And that's how that came off. And so there's time and place. We could have let's make sure whether he drives again or not is not fair to speculate at this point. But let's wait till he's back at the track, and then maybe let's have that conversation. I thought that was a very immature, classless sponsored plug, in my estimation. I know the NHRA is, I believe they're conducting an investigation of the crash. We'll see what comes of it, and hopefully the sport is safer for it, and hopefully John can get back in the cockpit, or at least at the track, and I'm sure he will, because, again, he's tough, 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 and we're praying for him. And yes, by the way, I do want to make very clear, the founder, AJ England, does work for John Force Racing. I only know what is being released by the team. No inside info. He is as tight-lipped as they come, folks.
And that is a definition of being professional about his job.
Just to be clear, I only know the things that everybody else knows. Just want to make that absolutely 100% clear. All right, Joey Logano is replacing Haley Deegan in Xfinity at the Chicago Street Course. This was a bit of a head-scratcher. Haley Deegan at one point was one of the can't-miss blue-chip prospects of NASCAR. And now, after today's announcement, she feels like she's on the verge of being out of a NASCAR ride. Matt, what was your thoughts on this?
I can't say that she's wrong for having that feeling, because, you know, you go from what is the current day Tricon that was David Gilliland Racing. You run, I'm going to say, very, very respectable in ARCA. You have a decent start in trucks. Decent. You go to Thor Sport, which is one step up a Ford from DGR, if you ask me. And you start planing off and declining. Then Ford decides, we're going to move you up to Xfinity. Okay, Stuart Haas car. No, AM Racing. It's going to tell you really quick this weekend if it's the car, if it's the driver, or if it's both. Because Joey Logano is going to give you an immediate read on what the issue is with what. That's the only way you can say it. So,
I fear because I'd like to see Haley Deegan be successful, to see a true bona fide successful female story in NASCAR would be great. And I'm not putting down the career of Danica Patrick. This ain't the time. This ain't the place. But I want to see a bona fide, successful, undebatable, successful career. And for a while, it felt like Haley Deegan was poised to be that. And now I'm not so sure. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, Matt, that the early predictions, I'm talking 3-4 years ago, were that maybe she'd be poised to take over the four car from Harvick. And obviously that didn't happen. Yeah. She didn't develop in that fashion like people thought she would.
I do remember that.
I think if Joey Logano has a great run this weekend, I mean, top five, maybe even a top 10, but certainly top five, Haley Deegan is on the hottest of hot seats to not only have her ride, but have a ride.
No, I would agree with you with that, but there's a lot more, I think, that Ford needs to look at overall, because when you're looking at pipeline prospects, Ford really only has two that they've hedged their bets on, if you want to word it that way. That's Haley Deegan and Frankie Muniz. That's a problem.
Malcolm in the middle, baby. Life is unfair.
That's a problem. That's no disrespect to Frankie or Haley, because in my personal opinion, Frankie is a diamond in the rough. He gets polished right and gets in the right situation, he could be an eye-opener, a serious eye-opener. But if they lose Haley and they don't do anything with Haley anymore, you've got Frankie Muniz. Okay.
That's what an odd spot.
That's an odd thought, because can you really call any of the Thor Sport drivers in your pipeline? No, you really can't. To me, you can't. Unless they start, unless they're pulling in Luke Finhouse to be in their pipeline, because he made a start with Thor Sport earlier this year. It's not just her. It's more, to me, Ford has got to get their pipeline in a row. Toyota obviously does. I'm going to say Chevrolet does. Ford is the big question mark here. But as I said earlier, Joey Logano is going to tell you really, really quick, and I guarantee you they will know within a 5-lap stretch in practice at the Chicago Street Race if it's the car, if it's the driver, or if it's the combination of both.
Yep, we're going to find out some answers. All right, HMS ends their sponsorship with Hooters. We know Hooters is struggling something awful right now. Sad to see they couldn't meet their sponsorship obligations. And You know, it's weird. Obviously, Hooters is best known. I'm just going to put this as professional as I can. You know, yes, scantily clad women serve you hot wings. But it wasn't that long ago, similar to the Haley Deegan thing, that it wasn't that long ago they were right there with B-dubs and Roosters or whatever have you. And it's just gone kind of south, unfortunately. And that's really, really sad.
It has.
Any thoughts here, Matt, before we keep moving along?
What once was a staple in the sport, it's going to be odd to not see them in the sport anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think of Alan Kowicki and the Polish victory, that it's sad. Obviously not like earth-shattering news because of the closures, but it is. It's sad. So Joseph Newgarden is interested in a NASCAR race, but I want to move it along. Josh Berry says he's confident that he'll be in a Cup ride next season. Matt, I want your thoughts. Josh Berry, confident he'll be in a Cup ride next season. Should he be confident? Where might he go? Options plentiful, but none of them are kind of standout career-changing opportunities.
He will still be in Ford, and I think he's squarely going to be set up to be in the 21 car next year because I don't see Harrison Burton coming back next year.
Ah, driving for the iconic Wood Brothers. That would be interesting. Josh Berry driving for the Wood Brothers. Riley Herbst says he has options in all three series next year. What's your take on Riley Herbst, and where might he end up?
This is the head-scratcher for me because – he's got that relationship with Front Row that quite arguably he could have legitimately won Talladega last fall, the Cup race, mm-hmm. in the 36 car. He's got that. I could see that happening, but does he go to Front Row? Does he go drive the Gene Haas's car with Monster as the backing? Because everybody knows he's got Monster Energy backing him. Does he drive a high-level truck? Does he stay in Xfinity? I could legitimately see him staying at Haas running that 98 for one more year.
Yeah, I think that's possible because Gene Haas has made clear that he's going to stick around. He kind of threw Tony Stewart under the bus for that statement. I'm just pointing that out. And I'm just dropping that little nugget there. I suppose I shouldn't, but just letting everybody know. And then back to NHRA here, Matt. Michael Andretti, who's expanding his portfolio as often as he seemingly can, he says he's got interest in an NHRA team. What's your thoughts on pretty much the expanding portfolio of Andretti? I think it would be big for NHRA to get the name Andretti in the sport. What's your take on his expanding portfolio?
To have, it would be monumental, if you ask me, to have Stewart and Andretti in NHRA. And I think his eyebrow has raised to that, seeing that Tony Stewart is having success with his team, his funny car team and his top fuel team. To him seeing that he's having success and that it can be done, I'm honestly not all that surprised.
But no, I'm a babe in the woods when it comes to NHRA, so I don't mean to talk out of turn, but I think it's great that a name of that caliber, I mean, Andretti is one of those names that non-race fans just, identify with. Of course, John Andretti had his run in drag racing, but Andretti's right up there with the name Petty in terms of prestige, and just it means something, so... I would like to see that happen again. Maybe if I knew a little bit more, maybe I'd feel differently. But just based on name value alone, I think that's great for an NHRA. And then finally, kind of makes me a little sad for obvious reasons. Matt, that Muppet looks like he's lost that Faction 46 ride after getting replaced by Dawson Cram this weekend. What can you tell us about that? What's your take?
I'm going to go back to what I said with Haley Deegan. Changing a driver in a vehicle to give your program a read, it's going to tell you real quick if it's the car or truck or the driver. And unfortunately, in this situation, I think it revealed that it was the driver and not the truck. Because the races up until Nashville, the 46 truck has unfortunately, and to call the shot like it is, he's been lucky to finish the race two laps down, if not more. Dawson Cram finished on the lead lap in that truck. So I think it was an unfortunate situation. Dawson Cram, of all people, no disrespect to him, but I'm surprised that it took him to reveal that it was the driver in the truck, because that equipment for that team came from GMS last year. So we know it's good equipment. It was the driver that was a problem. And it's, I hate to say it, but it's the truth.
And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. This is, of course, the 75th year of Petty Racing. Petty's being involved in NASCAR. And for Thad Moffitt, the grandson of Richard Petty, to get kind of removed seemingly permanently from his ride, we'll see what Pocono brings. But, boy, that's got to be a bitter pill for Thad to swallow, and to a lesser extent, maybe even the King, though the King has no official association with that team, as he does Legacy Motor Club. So sure. that's got to be a bitter pill for the whole family. You know, we'll see what the Pocono entry list looks like. I don't want to overstate what it is, but it feels like Thad Moffitt has lost that ride. We'll see. All right, we got to keep moving along. We're running a little bit over, and that's all right. We're having a party here. Let's have our weekend preview. All righty. So, again, we're in the home stretch here, Matt. NASCAR going back to Chicago. What's your take? Is this the SVG weekend?
Quite honestly, I think SVG gets the broom out. I think he's going to have the broom out and clean house, because I mean, you've seen what he's done in Xfinity on road courses this year with you. I mean, Coda, he took himself out, him and Austin Hill took themselves out, but the other road courses, he's been untouchable. And with as much success as he had at Chicago last year in a cup race right off the bat, I don't see how you don't go with him. But I'm not gonna take my eye off of Michael McDowell.
Tyler Fitzgerald says, weekend preview, track house on top. He is a track. He's the biggest track house stan I know. Tyler, thanks for tuning in. He's also a big Alabama fan, as you probably know, Matt. So, do you think he's got it right, track houses, because SVG is going to apparently run roughshod in your estimation?
Well, it'll be a track house driver winning in a colleague car, because SVG is going to pilot the colleague 16 car this week. So, I'm going to say it's better than 80% odds.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. IndyCar, they're in Mid-Ohio. Any takes there? Any predictions?
Oh, boy. Probably I'm going to say it's going to be a Penske car. And I'm looking squarely at Scott McLaughlin.
All right, and then F1 is in England. Is it Max Verstappen's race to lose again?
I'm going to say McLaren's going to slip up and get him.
All right, we shall see. With that, it's time for a little thing we call Racing Refresh Picks. All right, Matt, you don't you obviously are not out of part of Racing Refresh Picks. So what I want from you is just this. You're sure it's SVG this weekend. You got – all right. So see, and she said it's SVG. If it's not SVG, who's it going to be?
Michael McDowell.
All right. So, producer Peggy, come on in here. Let's update the score and get some picks going.
Here is the updated score. Logan, you and I are tied.
Power couple, baby.
Win that damn you game. Won last week.
How great I am, boys.
You picked Larson last week, and he finished P8. I lost. I finished last with a Christopher Bell pick, which was surprising. So that sucked, but That's why we're tied now.
Depends on what your perspective is. I enjoyed it.
So that means I get to pick first.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick Justin Haley. And next is Colin. Colin gave us his pick. And he picked Zane Smith. And then next was Adam. Adam agreed with Matt, and he picked Michael McDowell. And then Logan, because you won, you get to pick last. Who would you like to pick?
You got to take these people at some point in this game. So I'll go Daniel Hemric and hope for chaos.
Whenever I think of the 8 car, I think of Daniel Hemric.
He was there one season, Peter.
I don't think of Dale Jr. I don't think of Kyle Busch. I don't think of whoever else drove the 8 car. I think of only Daniel Hemric. That's a fun fact. Anyway, that's been Racing Refresh Picks.
All right. That means, Matt, it's time for closing time. Now, Matt, usually closing time, you can say whatever you like, and you can. But I am requesting, sir, that...
Thank you, Tyler.
...that we talk about... We just come off of Nashville.
Yeah.
We just come off of Nashville. And when I think Nashville Super Speedway, I think of one man. I think of Pastor Joe Nelms. I don't think of a driver. I don't think of Ross Chastain. I don't think of Chase Elliott. I think of Pastor Joe Nelms and his legendary invocation about a decade and a half ago now. Not quite that, but getting pretty close. And so let's talk about Pastor Joe Nelms, because the reason that you're on this show, of course, is your analysis. The reason this guest spot became a thing is because I said that Pastor Joe Nelms was a legend, and I shared that legendary invocation.
Mm-hmm.
You then tagged Pastor Joe Nelms, who liked it and was watching our whole conversation. How do you know the legendary pastor himself?
Well, how I came to Joe was in 2022. Steve West and myself were invited to come to Nashville Fairgrounds to do public address work for the SRX race. And the Pro Late Model, I think it was 100 lapper that night. And little did we know at the time that Pastor Joe was part of the staff there at the fairgrounds. He took care of all the pre-race invocations and helps with victory lane stuff from time to time. And then he will come up in the tower and help with PA stuff. I didn't know he was there at the time. And then I look over the old school PA booth at Nashville is literally smaller than a phone booth. We'll say that. So I look over to my left and he's just sitting there with his feet kicked up on the little bench. Just sitting there looking, and he's in a yellow and black official shirt with his overalls and his boots on. And I'm going, wait a minute. That face looks familiar. And then Bob Sargent, the promoter at Nashville Fairgrounds, he comes over and introduces Joe, and I'm going, Joe Nelms. Wow. And instantly from right there, the conversation was absolutely nothing but positive. The most laid back guy you could probably ever talk to. He would talk to any stranger. He's that nice of a fellow. He'll come up, talk to you, had a great conversation the whole night. And then at the end of the night, you know, and he had left to go down to pit road for the SRX race. And I told Steve, I said, we need to get him on our show. So I was like, okay. So I added him on my social media, and then he instantly approved it right there. And we was connected right there. I'm going, okay, that was quick. So I shot him a message. I think it was that following Wednesday. And I'd asked him, I said, hey, I was telling him, I said, we really, really enjoyed being in the booth with you, getting to talk with you and spending the afternoon with you. And he fired right back. He said, man, he said, I had a ball with you guys. He said, y'all are awesome. He said, I'd love to come down to Talladega and visit with you guys and hang out with you guys. And we said, but said immediately, you got the open invitation. You know, when we can make it work and your schedule's aligned, we'll get you there. Okay. I said, what do you think about, you know, coming on our show one weekend? He said, and without missing a beat, Logan, he said, absolutely. What day you want me and I'll be there. And was arguably, I've been a part of that show, minus Steve's show, for 8 years now. And he's arguably been the best interview we've had.
I'm not surprised because he's such a personality. I need to slide in Pastor Joe Nelms' DMs and see if I can make something happen.
And here's the part that blows your mind the worst. Last year at the truck race at Nashville Super Speedway, we were up there with my wife's brother, and we had some guests with us. They had a 14-year-old kid that we know, and that's never been to a race like that. Had never been up close to the competition at that level. Him and his mom and his dad were up there, and we were all down there at the truck. And I'm standing there just like this, looking back down pit road, and walking up from behind me, an arm on my shoulder. And he says the words, "Fella, you lost?" And I look, I said, "Joe, I ain't lost, man." And just immediately started talking to him like we just saw each other yesterday. He's like, "Who you up here with? Who you hang out with?" I said, "That truck right there." He said, "Brent." I said, "Yeah, that's my wife's brother." He said, "No kid." I said, "It is." He said, "Where is he at?" I said, "He's standing right up there." I said, "Go over and talk to him." He went up there and talked to him, and I walked up there and introduced them to each other and carried on the conversation. And it's like we seen each other a year apart, but it was like we saw each other 24 hours ago. He's that kind of guy. And then the guests that were with us had me laughing so hard I couldn't breathe. The guy that was with us, his name's Tim, he said, "Who is that right there?" I said, "Do you remember the pre-race prayer from up here in 2011? Thanking his smoking hot wife, Lisa?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You're looking at him." He said, "Huh?" I said, "That's him." I said, "He'll talk to you." And he carried on the conversation with him like he's known him for 10 years. You cannot find a better human being than Joe Nelms. He is a first-class individual.
I look forward. I pray I get the opportunity to get to know him. But yes, thank God for RO7 engines, GM Performance Technology, Goodyear tires. They bring power and performance to the track. Yes, they do indeed. And I look forward to hopefully someday schnoozing off of you a little bit there, Matt, and going, "Hey, can I meet Pastor Joe Nelms? Can we make that happen?" So I need to slide in his DM, see if I can get him on this show sometime, because he just sounds like a bang up fella.
He is.
All right, Matt. Well, we've gone a little over. So you got any final thoughts you want to share, whether that be Pastor Joe Nelms, your show, anything you want to share at all? Eagle, you had the floor.
I just hope Mother Nature treats Chicago better than she treated her last year.
You're not kidding. Ma Nature was a vengeful, vengeful lady. We had boat races on pit road. Producer Peggy, it's been an interesting show. Matt, it's been fun. Producer Peggy, final words before we bring it home.
My final words are, if you think NHRA is dumb, like I did a week ago, please give it a chance.
What she said.
If you think NASCAR's dumb, I don't know why you're watching the show, but please give it a chance. Or F1 or IndyCar or anything else. I still think football's dumb. And I'll probably always think football's dumb. That's, but maybe someday I won't.
We can only hope. Good Lord.
I put this banner up because I would like you guys to go check out our website and follow us on all of our socials listed there. Logan and I put a lot of hard work, Logan more so than me, this weekend into articles we wrote, pictures we took, photo galleries, all kinds of fun stuff from our time at the track. So if you want to see all that, it's on our website.
All righty. Well, thank you, Bruce Pagan. Now let me bring us home. Yes, please go check out racingrefresh.com. Please follow us on our socials. Give us a like. Give us a share. We want to grow this thing. We can only do that with your help. And so please, please, please go check us out. Maybe even if you're feeling so inclined to buy a shirt or buy a sticker or such and such. And yes, check out the content. Frankly, we did work hard this weekend trying to update content and give NHRA the coverage they deserve. Still plenty of NASCAR coverage as well. So please go check out their website. Be sure to check out Matt's show as well and follow him on the socials and follow him at MattNicholson10 on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. So with that, Matt, thank you for coming on. And until next week, we will see you at the next track. We'll talk street course racing. I'm out of here.